All right, we're going to get this started. Hey, folks, welcome back to the QS Cast. Good evening. Tarkan and I joining you yet again. How's it going there, Tark?
Going well, man. Going well. Good to talk with you. I think we missed last week, right? So sorry for that, guys. But yeah. It's good to be chatting again. Our apologies. Sometimes we get caught up with some stuff and our schedules don't align, but we try and keep these as consistent as possible for you guys. I think Chaz, we're gonna do some extra stuff, right? We're gonna do a couple of extra quick casts and.
Yeah. So we had some scheduling issues, but you know, Tark and I have tried to bend as good as we can. You know, we talked about this earlier in the year to, you know, try to keep a schedule and try to, you know, make up, you know, if we can't cast, to try to push out more content to make up for it.
But a lot of stuff's been going on just in the general secondary market and singles and whatnot. You know, we had the whole masterpiece, you know, craziness that's been going on, which we can talk about a little bit. Really quick, also, I just want to put this out there because there's as far as the things are going off Ion Retail, I really just want to do a fast plug for that. In case you guys don't know, we have, which this could be relevant to particularly our subs, but we have an entrepreneur level subscription for Ion Retail, which is if you are a store that is brand new and you've been only open for 1 year, you get a heavy discount on Ion Retail to kind of platform the program, test it out. We offer a discount because you're a new store and you're just getting your feet wet. We know that stores can't always afford, some of the prices for like Crystal Commerce and our own platform at the full rate. So for some of you guys, there might be individuals out in our community that are just starting a store or have got, you know, just opened the doors and they want to move beyond just doing TCG player and just doing e-commerce and, you know, they want to have a point of sale and blah, yada, yada. We do offer an intro level program for 1 year. So if anybody's interested in that, just shoot me a DM and we can help you out. But I strongly recommend checking it out.
Furthermore, I hear the feedback. I mean, part of what I do here, you know, especially for the subs and insiders, you know, is on Discord and, you know, you folks, you know, give me a lot of great DMs and just messages and you guys post in the appropriate channels. I forward pretty much everything. You will be hearing an update. I've been pushing for that. So you're going to hear an update about, you know, trader tools that should be coming soon and trade routes. There's a version in the works that is pretty much going to be released here soon. So I understand. And, you know, it's been a while and I appreciate the, you know, the patience there. I really appreciate it. So, but you know, we understand. So, again, I've been trying to push that forward. You have not been heard. So we definitely hear you.
Yeah. I really appreciate you guys just continuing to bear with us. And, you know, just remember that QS is primarily run by part-timers. So, you know, it's sort of a slow burn, continual work in progress. And, you know, we're doing what we can. Trade routes is coming. It's going to be much better. Trader tools, you know, every day there's, you know, new improvements. I can say this, TCG player is going to be back on in trader tools sooner than later, which is going to be great. I think TCG low is also going to be part of that. I think we're going to have mid low and I believe market. I can't confirm that yet.
We'll let Tyler update them
Tyler will give you guys the official address. I don't want to speak incorrectly. So, but yeah, things are moving along.
All right. Now for the content. The main issue here, well, not really issue, but the point of what we're going to be talking about here over the last few weeks. And again, really not an issue, but, is, you know, we talked about when Dominaria was first released in the FAQ, like that text FAQ, we were looking through it. You know, we talked about how they're going to try to really push to every kind of player they have, that they're trying to reach for this nostalgia. The set really felt like it was well designed. It really like harkened back to really what a Magic set is. And they've been on a pretty good roll for the last three sets. I mean, I know Ixalan kind of was like, it was almost there, but I think it was still solid, but it wasn't like, you know, not like a heavy hitter like Dominaria. So I said a few weeks ago that This really is a huge, going to be a huge boon to the market. And I was, turns out I was not only like wrong in the sense that not only did it was a huge boon to the market, that, you know, buying has been huge in the market the last few weeks. And some of that can be attributed to, you know, folks getting tax returns. Some is just general hype about Dominarian. It's a fun time to be playing Magic the Gathering. Some of it could just be, you know, some of us connected the dots about, you know, how Wizards is going to integrate all this and really push MTG Arena. That also dropped, you know, as a normal beta. The NDA closed, you know, stopped on that. So a lot of different things were kind of, it was kind of this perfect storm, but I mean, we've seen so many increases. And one of those big increases is the masterpieces yet again. So this was a topic that was requested for us to talk about. I feel like we've talked about this a few times over this, the course of this cast, but we always like to talk about it again. And, you know, a few of us, few insiders wanted us to kind of go back through some of the stuff more in depth, and we're willing to do that. But at this point, I mean, short take is masterpieces feel like to me that, you know, we always kind of refer to it as this reserve list light, right? It's kind of like the reserve list. It's obviously they can get reprinted. Where they and how they can get reprinted is not really easy. So they're kind of like pseudo reserve list. But there's like this yearly cyclical thing now. And I think folks just have to get accustomed to that happening.
Yeah, I mean, the whole masterpiece, the whole story of the narrative of the masterpiece is fascinating to me, because people love them, then they hate them, then they love them again, then they hate them, and now everybody loves them because a small group of individuals decided to like alpha strike them. So the reality of the masterpieces is they are soft reserve list cards, essentially. Now, could they reprint Cataclysmic Gearhulk in another Masterpiece series? Yes, but will they redo the borders, these borders specifically? I don't think so. I think it's highly, highly, highly unlikely that you're going to ever get these borders, particularly with the invocations. So I didn't follow the craziness when it started. I know stuff was just spiking left and right, and congrats to the subs who were selling through their masterpieces into the hype and being, you know, making profits. Good for you. But the reality is that there's no reason why any masterpiece should be sitting around at $15 to $20. So the invocations in particular, and I said this several weeks ago, but any invocation that's about $15 to $20 is basically an auto buy. Now, do I think that they're going to go up tomorrow? Well, given what's been happening recently, it's possible, but these things are not going to sit around at $15, $20 for very long. I would say within 12 to 24 months, the baseline for an invocation is probably going to be about between $30 and $40. It just is what it is. There's no reason. And the reason for that is because take something like Hour of Devastation. Nobody's going to crack Hour of Devastation boxes for invocations because they're so rare. Unless for some reason there's like several modern cards that come out of Hour of Invocation, which I think is going to be highly unlikely in the next at least 12 months. So these boxes are going to sit around. Nobody's going to crack them open. And these cards are just going to be extremely rare. And I do think that scarcity is absolutely going to play into these, because they're foils. They're different. And I think they're cool. But they're just not, they're not going to be 15. I couldn't believe that Hour of Devastation Invocations, I mean, were at the lowest, I think they got, some of them were like 10, 12 bucks, which is just absolutely crazy to me. So I still say now, even with all the hype that's going on, if you can get the $15 to $20 for any masterpiece or invocation, go for it. I'm not going to predict that you're going to make money tomorrow with it. I think you're looking at a minimum of, you know, 12, possibly 24 months, but you have this upside of now there's been so much tension put on the masterpieces. Any day, one of them could just go through the roof. So they kind of have this baked in additional upside that, oh, well, you know what? The cabal of masterpiece buyers might decide to just go ahead and hit, you know, Combustible Gear Hulk, and next thing you know, it's, you know, $50. So we kind of didn't, a lot of people didn't talk about masterpieces, and we sort of stopped talking about them after, you know, after a little while and focused on other things, but they're absolutely good buys. Now, when I'm looking at the Kaladesh ones, so the other point with these things is that I think that the Kaladesh inventions set the baseline, right? Because those are the preferred border, at least for the time being, until the day comes, which I do think will come, where the Hour of Devastation invocations are considered really cool. And yes, I do think there will be a time when people think they're super cool and hip. But until then, the inventions basically set the baseline. And just doing just
crappy visual math, it looks like the average is about $40 on average, $40, $50. So when I look at the invocations, the average is much lower. I mean, the average is about $30. $30. I would say $50 for the, and again, I'm doing horrible visual math here, but about $50 for the inventions and about $30 for the invocations. I would say $50 is probably a safe baseline where the minimum masterpiece is going to be about $50. Any of them, the invocations and the inventions. So that's why I was saying before that the invocations are really attractive because all these, I mean, Forbid is $20, Mind Sensor is $20, Choke, Sig was talking about Choke being laughably spiked, and it is laughable at spiking, but I think that all these things are eventually going to be about $50. So you're fine going on the top end, you know, something like Force of Will, I don't know. I mean, you know, I got to imagine that if these all slowly go up, then they're going to go up proportionally. So Force of Will end up being, you know, $250. It could be on par with some of the other ones. In fact, I think something like Force of Will should probably be about $250, $300, given that its other foil printings are incredibly expensive. So that's pretty much, you know, I don't want to draw on about it too much, but we shouldn't be surprised. Now, the ones that I think are super interesting are the Expeditions. And those are really, really hard to predict. And give me a second, Chaz. If you want to comment, you can. I'm just going to pull up the...
And, you know, edition. Every time this kind of happens, and it is this kind of cyclical thing now, in addition to the reserve list, all this talk about bubbles and, you know, is there, you know, really demand for this? And why are these spiking randomly? And, you know, the way I see it is... there's a little bit of everything, and obviously you can see that if there's already pushback on certain cards and they're not selling well, you know, there you have it right there, that folks aren't going to be paying an inflated price just because and this is, you know, a good percentage of it, because the finance community, you know, rings the dinner bell every so often, and everyone comes rushing to buy, you know, masterpieces, and, you know, just for some self-validation. You know, and I'm not really trying to pull any punches there, but that's kind of what happens. And it only takes like a little bit of, you know, hinting there, and then folks talk about it, then more folks talk about it. And then you basically have a FOMO situation where everyone's basically just buying because they don't want to get left behind and they don't want to, you know, miss out at a certain price point. The problem is like, if you pull up, I mean, Goldfish is really the only place I see that tracks masterpieces or inventions as a whole. The last time they were really cheap was between October 16 and January 17th. And then they saw, well, their first massive spike up from an overall value of around, you know, about like 2,000 up to about 3,600. And then over the course of time, you know, you get to July 30 and they kind of just taper off, and then they increase again, and then they kind of cool off again. So really the first time, that very first spike, the market identified that the Kaladesh inventions were, the prices were wrong. I mean, obviously there was a lot of undercosted masterpieces, a lot of these corrected. So it's basically just small influxes as, you know, these cards kind of taper off again over, you know, the course of the next year, and folks kind of just buy them up again because they're back down to almost their original price. Some stick to a semblance of their new price, but, you know, while this frenzy is going on and it's a flavor of the month, there's just a lot of buying and selling frenzy. And some folks, you know, try to, you know, if you sell through them, fantastic, that's great if someone wants to buy it at that price. But, you know, folks always try to argue because they don't want to get left out. And it's understandable because there's always these kind of price spikes, and everyone wants to kind of get in on every single one. Well, it's like kind of impossible. So, and I keep saying this, I've been saying it ever since I really started making content, you know, view the financial lens of this game, is that there's always a card around the corner. I mean, while some folks were talking about masterpieces and, you know, try to like, you know, beat the drum for masterpieces and, oh, see how awesome these picks were. I mean, cards like Dream Halls, cards like Recurring Nightmare. There's so many other cards that are increasing at the same time. So there's not one right thing. And I think we get kind of caught up in that. And that's kind of my overall take on that, is that, you know, if you just look at the percentages, you just look at the numbers, they taper off. They go pretty much the same every single year at this point. I mean, you know, all through 17, now they're up during 18, and they'll probably temper off ever so slightly throughout the year. And then they'll increase again until the point where either they're reprinted or they're at a price point that no one wants to buy these anymore. So does anyone, right. I mean, how many more people are going to spend $300 on a Masterpiece Soul Ring when, you know, they were paying $200? I mean, there's going to be some pushback and there's going to be an overall cap on some of these cards.
And this kind of relates to what you're saying, Chaz, but what oftentimes happens is that whenever something is not super exciting or it's in a cool off period, right? Well, let's say 6 months ago,
sure.
Or maybe even, right? Yep. Nobody cared about Invocations for sure. Nope. Nobody really cared about Masterpieces. Nobody cared about Expeditions.
They're always like kind of in the back of everyone's mind, but no one's like, hey, like go, like now's the time, right?
Correct. Like yeah, when right, I say right. Nobody cared, there wasn't a lot of excitement around them.
Sure, sure.
And that tends to go on for a while. And what happens is, this happens to all of us, myself included. You go, well, I could buy an Invocation. Gosh, you tell yourself, you're like, man, it seems like a good buy. But then I'm going to be like, you know, I'm going to opportunity cost be tying up my money. It's just going to sit around. Who knows when it goes up, right? If you're going to have a portion of your inventory or your collection or whatever be dedicated to like true speculation and long term, these are the times when you really need to go ahead and pull the trigger on things that you feel comfortable about that aren't going to like blow you out, right? Like you're not going to spend your whole budget. But in those moments when it's really boring, unexciting, and I hate to say it, you're almost uncertain. You go, well, I have no idea when this is going to go up. That's oftentimes that's a really good time to buy something when nobody cares, nobody's talking about it. There's no likelihood that it's going to see anything go, you know, it's going to see any kind of price movement over like 3-6 months. And I know that's difficult for most people in our group because it does counter to my overarching strategy, which is turn and burn. 100%, it does. But with something like okay, I have a reserve list collection. It sits. Through all of these reserve list spikes, I have not sold a single card, and I will not sell a single reserve list card. I have no need to. That is the one segment of my inventory collection, you want to say, that I don't touch. Every time Dream Halls, all this stuff blows up, I never sell a single one because I know that, it has personal sort of value to me. But beyond that, just from a strictly financial perspective, I just know eventually it's just going to keep growing and growing and growing. And I'm going to see a really, really nice return on that if I just keep holding on to it. So it's kind of twofold. If you're going to have some kind of portion of inventory that is just going to sit and be long term, the time to buy it is when there is no attention. Nobody gives frankly a shit about it, right? Nobody cared about Expeditions and Masterpieces, right? Until recently. So I think even still with the cheap ones, there looks like there's still cheap ones. I think you buy these 15, 20, even the $25 ones, they may not spike tomorrow. You may have quote unquote missed the boat, but just let it ride, right? And you'll suddenly see, okay, $40, $30, right? Or $50, eventually gets to $50. It'll get there eventually, right? And I think the part of the reason with the Masterpieces in particular, why these have great upside to them is because nobody's going to crack these boxes. Nope, there's a lot of product. Nobody's interested in trying to hunt down reserve list 2.0 cards and spend the cap. Like nobody's going to do that. I suppose some people might try, but unless there are singles that raise the value of the boxes significantly, no one's going to try and hunt for these Masterpieces. They're just too rare. So I think we can wrap it up with that. I think the Expeditions, I'm looking at the Expeditions here. I mean,
yeah. And it's like, this is not just throwing. Yeah, go ahead.
$20, $20 for a Smoldering Marsh. Yeah. You're probably saying Smoldering Marsh sucks. Who gives it? $20 is too cheap. It is too cheap. It is like small. These Prairie Stream, I think, didn't Prairie Stream go up, or was it? It was the filter land, or maybe it was the filter land. I don't remember, but $20 for Expeditions. Yeah, I would buy them. Like I said, I think $50 is base is the average for a low on these Masterpieces moving forward, like yep. Long term. That's the floor.
Yeah, and this is not what, and I, you know, I don't say any of that to throw shade. I mean, but you know, you gotta like just kind of take every hype event or every card that increases and kind of look at it with a level head. And if it's something that you either were in on, you know, at the ground floor, or you can still find some cheap cards. I mean, it's no point like sitting and scratching your head or like engaging in just stuff or, you know, conversation and trying to like you know, rack your brain with this stuff when there's tons of other opportunities around the other corner. So, I mean, it's like not, you know, certain, you know, there's a lot of different, there's a lot of content out there. There's a lot more awareness about this aspect of the game now. And, you know, there's, because of that, you know, more folks are kind of in on this. So, you know, there's always an opportunity around the other corner. Once something is keyed in on, that's normally not the time to start like considering it. I mean, once the kind of market and the kind of the hype train, if you will, kind of moves in on a certain area, it's already pretty much too late. So like you want to just kind of look for the next opportunity. But when it comes to like invocations, yeah, there's still some opportunity there. You know, I did highlight a couple cards we can here in a minute that are not too, that have not increased too much from their previous lows. But again, this is all very cyclical. I mean, if you even, you look at Dream Halls, you mentioned Dream Halls, Tarkan. I mean, that card spiked, I mean, how many times? Like 3 or 4 times already? I mean, we see some of these reserve list cards even spike and then, you know, kind of cool off a little bit. I mean, but, you know, the rhetoric of, you know, oh, you know, buy these cards, they're only going to go up. Oh, it's the opportunity of a lifetime and all that. That's all like old cliche salesman talk. And the only surefire, only going to go up cards literally is a reserve list. So if that's what we all want to sit around and talk about and all want to invest in, that's one thing. But that is literally the only cards that we know have no outlet for reprinting whatsoever. And that, you know, it, masterpieces, invocations included, is it likely? Probably not too likely, but there is a higher percentage of zero, which is, you know, the reserve list can still tout as 0%. So, and not every reserve list card spikes all the time either. It's this kind of cyclical thing of, oh, look at these reserve list cards. They kind of tapered off a little bit. I'm sure Dream Halls will go back to like 10 to 12 bucks and that, you know, there will be another spike, you know, maybe in a year or so.
Yeah, I mean,
I've seen it happen too many times.
100%.
I mean, I must have sold like the one card that I can even come to mind just right off the bat is like Alluren. I must have bought and sold that card like 5 different times over the course of like the last few years. Because it'll spike and then no one cares about it anymore. Then it'll spike and then no one cares about it anymore.
Yep. And so there, I kind of want to segue. Kind of with related to masterpieces, but also into another topic. There was some talk in the Discord about Gaia's Cradle.
Sure.
I want to shout out to Chris Tidmore because he was commenting on this, and I'm 100% agree with him. Gaia's Cradle is going to be $1,000, 100%. It will be a $1,000 card.
We're probably very close to it.
Yeah. The bigger picture to this is that, okay, so the 93-94 craze happened. Alpha, beta, right, unlimited, all that stuff is just going through the roof. It will continue to go through the roof. It's super expensive. So, and I know other content creators talked about this. I'm not the first one to say this, but I think we're starting to see the gestation of this just now. Slowly, people are going to start moving, and this is actually particularly true for the newer players that come in and in time eventually, you know, catch on to MTG Finance. They learn about the secondary market, whatever. There's going to be new money that starts being moved from that old stuff and into the tier two level, which is going to be Saga Block, Tempest, Exodus, like that stuff, right? So what are the iconic? So we go, what are the iconic marquees from the old school? Well, the Power Nine, obviously, Juzom Jin, right, $1,000. Then you ask yourself, okay, what are the iconic cards from this late 90s, early 2000s era? Is Gaia's Cradle, right? Gaia's Cradle is one of the key iconic cards from the saga. Tolarian Academy, which I know sounds crazy, but Tolarian Academy is super iconic. I guarantee you Tolarian Academy is going to be $100 eventually, if not more. It's going to be $100. I think it was like 6 months ago, it was like $25, and now I think it's pushing $40. Tolarian Academy is so iconic from that area. It's going to get hit, even though it's only played in Vintage, right? It's banned everywhere else because it's too powerful. But these cards are going to be they're going to be the Platinum 2.0. I was saying in Discord, they're going to kind of be the next stage, particularly for the younger players who, or people from sort of the next generation that they grew up with, right? Is going to be stuff from the Saga block. I think not to mention BioSpark, but I think BioSpark, you were like really into the game. We were talking about this, and like he was heavy into the game during the Saga block, as was I, right? So the people that kind of came into the game early on during that era, those cards are going to eventually start to go up. So yes, Gaia's Cradle is going to be $1,000. So how that relates to masterpieces, when you have things like MTG Arena, when you have these like really initiatives and they introduce a whole new generation of players. These cards, these are the these ultra rare lotteries, reserve list 2.0, whatever you want to say, that's going to be the stuff that these buyers that's going to end up getting hit. These cards, this is going to be the new sort of ultra rare park your money, like, you know, reserve list 2.0 sector, right? And that's a long time away, yes, but I just want to tie it all together that there is a cycle, as you mentioned, and things happen in generationally, right? And now that old school has been wiped out for the most part, I mean, it's going to continue to rise, but the boom has happened. Now there's going to be this sort of very, it may be slower, it may be sudden, I don't know, but this exodus, kind of this move towards that next generation stuff of Saga Block and even honestly Mask and that sort of that time period. So 100%, something like Gaia's Cradle, $1,000 easy. It's absolutely going to happen. And I know people are like, well, should we buy it now because they're pushing it to $500? I think it's early, and I think early and late. I think it's early for obviously $1,000, but I think it's too late to try and jump in the hype that's happened. I know Sig was talking about, like, you know, looking at really cheap, not really cheap, but like $250 played copies and whatever. I just think you should just let it go by, let it pass. I mean, I know that sounds like not interesting or exciting, but I'm with you, Chaz. Like my strategy is anytime something hits, I pretty much never buy into it ever.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even smart investing.
Yeah.
Sig makes
a valid point where he was saying regarding Cradle, he's like, well, if I get a really, really beat up one for an okay price, at least I have some exposure to something that is obviously an upward trajectory. I don't disagree with that. I just think that now, right? Because, you know, again, it's a little bit of FOMO, but because he's thinking if it goes up, then I'm going to have missed the opportunity to buy it. Well, yeah, but you could at the same time, you can still take that money and put it into things that don't have attention, and you have the same and or better outcome.
Right? I mean, this is how. Yeah, and I get that, but I mean, everyone does this differently, and this is why I kind of say there's like no right way to do it. You know, we just kind of observe things, and then we just kind of talk about them, and we kind of, you know, try to make as best recommendations as we can. But I would rather take the chance that, you know, this is just another hype of, you know, reserve list stuff, well, the higher end reserve list stuff. Now, you got to be careful here, because you did bring up a subject here, and, you know, this does kind of tie into the masterpieces. These upper echelon, and oh God, it's so, I'm literally having like deja vu here, because we talked about this literally last year, or, you know, in the early summer when this all kind of craziness started with the reserve list last, you know, time. These upper echelon reserve list, I guess you'll call them staples. These are basically the only cards, I think, really ever that will not ever, they won't ever go back to the original price. They will go back to some semblance of where they could have been. They're always a little bit more expensive, but I'd rather take the chance that Gaia's Cradle is just during a hype period. I don't think the $1,000 price tag is like right around the corner, because no, that would just be crazy.
Right.
But it eventually will happen. Some of these reserve list cards just kind of take off and never look back. I mean, you look at Drop of Honey, stuff like that. There's very few instances. Gaia's Cradle could be one of them. But if you want a $250 car, Gaia's Cradle, and that's what you feel that you need to spend in on, whether it's FOMO or you just want to have one before it's too late, and, you know, because they were already around that price anyway. That's like just old price. I mean, they were around that price anyway. So.
Yeah.
If they cool off, they're gonna go back around that price anyway. Then you're nowhere, you're not out, but you're not like, you didn't gain anything, because what are you buying the $250 Gaia's Cradle right now for? Are you gonna flip that? Like if that's what you're gonna do, then you might as well just, if you can do it, fine. But if you're not, I might as well just use the $250 and diversify even more.
Yep, exactly. I just.
you're not out.
Yeah, I mean not to kind of beat a dead horse, but the takeaway really is just I don't think it's good to ever buy into any of these events. In fact, when these events are happening, that's when you should be looking totally. That's when it's the perfect opportunity to go for things that you were watching before. When all of a sudden there's a ton of attention somewhere else, that's when it's like, okay, great, now I can move in on this card that I've been thinking about, but I wanted to see what was happening. I wanted to see if anybody was. If that's the time to do it. I just don't don't move into these events. It's never a good idea.
Yeah. Now, for those that asked, are there, you know, while the kind of hype train is moving the way it's moving, are there still opportunities? Well, they might not be the like top end of invocations. They might not be the most glamorous, but I do think they are at least interesting. They are worth at least owning if you're going to try to go in on this, because I do think a lot of the lower end invocations will end up moving up, and largely like the reserve list too. Once those upper like staples and all those cards like really increase and take off, and over time, you know, the $40 meta workers are like $60 to $70 or $80. I do think the sub $1, you know, reserve list cards, no matter how bad they are, I think the floor is going to move up. So
there will be no reserve list card that is under $5. Putting that out there. I think I've said that multiple times. There will be no reserve list card under $5. I'm going to repeat that again. There will be no reserve list card that will be under $5.
Right.
So what does that mean? You should probably buy any reserve list card that is under $5. Now, is it going to happen tomorrow? No. So you have factor all that in, right? Like, you know, how much can you afford to put in something that you're just going to throw in a closet and whenever you cash in on it, right? But that's
really like, because Tark and I don't really have, we don't normally focus on the long term, but you don't really get, that is the long term at this point. I mean, you know, Tark and I, you know, there are some stuff that you'll probably hold for a little while. But, you know, that super long term that, you know, folks really talked about a few years ago, that's pretty much over. I mean, that is pretty much it in our eyes anyway. Now, is it the only way to do it? No. But that's how kind of we navigated and kind of how we observe things and kind of our philosophy when it comes to this. By when will it happen? When will no card on the reserve list be under $5? Could be, I don't know, 5 years.
Exactly. I mean, it's like sealed product. You just throw it around and throw it away and then don't think about it. Turn rate on the low end cards. Yeah. Athros, I agree with you. I think it's similar to power. I mean, I know power sells, it will probably sell better,
I think it's the same kind of
deal where it's really illiquid for the average person, right? So a crappy reserve list card that let's say they're all $5, the crappy $5 ones are going to turn like hardly ever, but they're just not going to be around, so they're going to, you know, they're going to have a price point of $5 based on collectability, and that's just going to be
there's never an equal footing of like Wyrmwood Tree Folk and power, but you know, it's just like how there is a smaller market to, you know, the power. It probably will sell more, but you know, Wyrmwood Tree Folk at some point will probably not be like 50 cents anymore.
If I could tell you when any card was going to reach X price by a certain time, I would be a multimillionaire, and so would you. And this cast would not be $12 a month. So I wish I could give you an exact target date. The point of the matter is that they're not going. You can't have cards that were 50 cents in the 90s and then be 50. You could. You technically could. But due to the fact that there's a limited supply of them, right? And just attrition and time and speculators and the people buying up crap, just buying stuff, it's just not going to last. It's not going to be 50 cents, right? So I wish I could give you an exact date. I can't, but like Chad said, 5 years. Yeah, it's like sealed product. Look at it like sealed product. You just put it away. I would say 5 year time increments. Take a look. 5 years, see where things are going, you know, what's happened, right? And 5 years is a long time. That's why I'm saying you don't do this with your, this isn't your primary stream, right? It's just it's just for collecting, right? How can I say every card will be $5 and make no prediction of when that will happen? Okay, so in 5 years, we'll say a 5 year benchmark. I'm not going to say every single card will be $5, but I will say in 5 years, I will say across the board you will have lower end growth on the lower end for the bottom barrel cards. That is what you said. That is what I said. Yes, every card will be $5 eventually. When that will happen, that is tough to say, man. I'm not exactly sure. I will say within 5 years, basically 95% of all the penny stocks, we'll call them, of the reserve list will have gone up. When they're all going to be $5, 5 to 10 years, sure. So if we're still chatting in 5 to 10 years, then
that also includes like if Magic is even around, but you know, people said that Magic wouldn't be around now. So
Magic is going to be around. Magic will be around. Magic will be here in 5 to 10 years, and that'll be what it is.
Well, they pay out by the time I turn 40. We'll have a rain check on that.
Yes. Now, like, yes. In 10 years, you will make money on your cheapers, on your penny stock reserve list cards.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we can revisit this in 10 years.
Okay.
So anyway, invocation. So these are the five I singled out. So that are not too far off their lows. Now, again, not the most glamorous. There is one that I actually picked on a cast a while back. But so I looked at, you know, Avatar of Woe. I've seen it on, you know, you see it on interest every now and then. It is not the most glamorous card. It does have varying use in EDH. It's not like a hard staple, but it's pretty much stayed the same. So basically any increase at this point is a significant percentage increase, because it's still at its low. Desolation Angel, another one that I do like, is probably more frequently used in EDH than the last. It's a pretty powerful card. Again, it's still at its low. I don't know if this one still, this one seemed to be moving at a kind of a quicker pace, but you know, I do see this more frequently. So you have Desolation Angel, Avatar of Woe. We move on to, I know this has actually been one that's been talked about in the various channels over the last few days amidst all this kind of hype. You have Loyal Retainers. I don't know what the supply is on this, but from the looks of it, it's still at, it actually kind of cooled off. It started at in the 30 range. It's kind of cooled off into the low 20s. Not very popular. Yeah. I'm just kind of looking at, again, you know, I kind of made my basis for these. So let me just kind of get through these. Avatar of Woe, Desolation Angel. You have Loyal Retainers. So this was actually the big one. I actually talked about this card on a previous cast. Mind Twist. This is a personal favorite of mine. I like Mind Twist just as a card. Really the only premier, like the kind of premier version of this card. There's not really another foil version of it. This has been also sitting at around $25 for a while. It started at like 40. I think it was like pre-selling in the 40 range and is now cooled off considerably. If they ever unban this card in, you know, certain formats, that's, you know, really kind of the huge boon of this card. So that would probably be the first kind of spot for the hype to stop on this card, this particular version, because, I mean, the other Black Border versions are pretty expensive at this point. And then another one I talked about is Lord of Extinction. This card has been pretty flat. It started in the 30, mid-30 range. It's pretty even since then. And that is a fairly popular EDH card. Only has one printing still in Alara Reborn and, well, this one. So there is only two foil versions, this and the Alara Reborn. But those are the five that I kind of looked at on the low end when you talked about like sub, you know, $20 or $30 invocations. I think those were pretty strong ones. I mean, I think Worship has been increasing. I know that one was, you know, talked about the last few days. I haven't seen another one that I really super like. Attrition, yeah, that one's pretty good too. But yeah, if there's another one that I missed, by all means. I mean, there even the mid 25s. I mean, you got Vindicate also, so I like that one too.
Yep. For sure. I like I said, I like all of these that are $20 and below. I mean, Threads of Disloyalty, it's what, a sideboard card in Modern, I'm pretty sure. It's in Control or was. I mean, even random one, Boil, Sunder, like these are really random, but they're just cheap. I just think they're that whole segment, the really low ones, I think are great. With the inventions, I really like the Gear Hulks. And then with the expeditions, all the cheap lands there. I think there was one Graven Cairns, which is $30. Even Graven Cairns, I think, is fine. But definitely the ones that are in the $20-$25 range. Smoldering Arch, Prairie Stream. I like them all. They're the least popular. They're so cheap. And I just think the floor for these is going to go up. And you know, they're all going to end up being at a baseline of around $50.
Yeah, I mean, now again, it's going to take another few hype cycles for this, if even at all, because so that's like kind of this what we've been saying is, you know, you're going to find pushback on this. I mean, how many folks are going to be rushing out to buy Black Vice? I mean, I know some folks are, you know, have had success for that, and that's great. But these quickly, you know, as quick as they increase, they kind of get pushback. So, you know, just keep that in mind. All right. So do you want to talk about the other cards that we know wanted to look at this week?
You want to go to picks?
I kind of wrap it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. You can start.
So amidst all the the craziness this week, I don't actually have a lot of cards that I actually documented. I know it's been a couple, last week and then this week, but really all the cards that I even would have talked about increased at this point. And then, we were looking at invocations. And so I kind of wanted to stay as pertinent as possible. But I did see, I did have a couple that I wanted to at least look at. So this one I'll actually just probably, use as a pick or whatever we want to call them for Papu's purposes. So this is one. So General Tazri, I like the foils of this. I mean, this is not something that, is new. I think everyone kind of documented this card as it came out to keep an eye on it. But I do see it from time to time pop up on interest. And the foil is just, it's moving, albeit very slowly, but that's the only version I really care about. But it's been pretty steady, kind of started at very high, in the 20 range, has cooled off over the last 2 years, 3 years now. So I like it in the $4 range. This is just something, one of those build around commanders that is five colors, but enabled a tribe and commander in allies. Everyone kind of wanted this for a while. So I think this is a pretty inexpensive one to stash away for a while. I know it's an
also
open the
important
gate
to
watch,
note that important to note that it was one of the commanders of the week this week on EDH Rec.
Okay, that is good. Yeah, it's definitely it's popular. I mean, it's definitely it pops in from time to time as a commander for the week, but it's still fairly inexpensive. I mean, you could probably buy these for $3 if you really look, maybe even cheaper. Who knows? But it's just one that will likely steadily increase. Probably will take a little while. So this is not like you're going to be selling this in next month.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, one of the insiders. Yeah. Thanks, Efren. I mean, this is already getting kind of scarce. Then I haven't really been tracking the supply all too closely, but as it popped up, I guess over the last few weeks, I just kind of notated it to talk about it. But if you can find them, I don't know how much longer it is going to take to shift to that $15 mark, because Efren pointed out that there's a few in the $15, $16 range. But yeah, I would stash these away. And then the other one, so I've seen the, so this card has been basically moving up ever since 2013. I think the ship has sailed on these in terms of making a huge percentage of profit, but I'm going to butcher this name, but Mayel's Aria. It's an enchantment, Alara's Reborn. It's Naya colors. Beginning of your upkeep, +1/+1 counter on each creature. If you control a creature of 5 or greater, if you control a creature with 10 or greater, power or greater, you gain 10 life. And if you control a creature with power 20 or greater, you win the game. But the variance between the normal version and the foil version is getting pretty thin. The normal versions are sitting at $7 and the foils are 12. So there's a pretty small margin there, in terms of, the variance between the two versions of the card. And it hasn't been reprinted. I think it's the only version. There's only one foil version. So yeah, the non-foil versions are at $7, but I really like the foils at 12, if you can still get them around there.
I like that one.
Yeah. Alara Block had foil packs and present multipliers. Yeah, it does. But I don't think even at this point, the Alara foil packs would, the increased supply from that would stop, the foil version of this from increasing further. I think the first nearest stop for this would be in the $25 range, and then probably settles in the low 20s. And then if it gets hyped again, probably in the 30s. But I don't see this really maintaining a price over 30, even in the foils. But yeah, it's cool. Been on low supply for a while. So just wanted to, notate the spread on that. So yeah, you're up, Tark.
Yeah. So, I'm really confident in Dominaria doing some interesting things, to the various formats, particularly, Commander and Standard, obviously. And we spoke on the enchantment effect. I really, really think sagas are going to be a hit in the casual kitchen table circle. And thus, there was another card that I noticed that I really liked. This is Aura Thief,
from Urza's Destiny. Basically, when it dies, you gain control of all enchantments, which is pretty epic. Except for, I think, the auras on your creatures. You can't move them around, but that's pretty sweet. It's around $3 with a foil at around $15, and the supply, just based on TCG player, is rather low. I think there was only two pages of sellers for both, maybe one page. There was only half a page for foils and about two pages of sellers for non-foils. So I really like Aura Thief. I actually like the non-foil first as a priority, but I also like the foil. I think the foil could be about $30. It could double up, and I think the non-foil could be about $6 to $8. My second one is a commander that was only printed in Commander 2016 and has a Judge foil, which is Nikasar. It was one of the top commanders of the month and sits at $4, which for that commander I think is a bit low. I think that's a $7-$8 commander. It's got the Judge foil, but don't really think that's going to affect the supply. If anything, it helps it because it's commander players love their foils and it adds some demand there. So I like Nikasar, and I do have a reserve list pick this week. Going back to the reserve list, Well of Knowledge from Weatherlight. Really interesting little artifact that lets you pay, any player can pay 2 mana during their draw phase to draw a card, and you can do that as many times as you want. It's kind of cool, kind of different. Had a spike back in, I think, September of last year, and then cooled back down to, I think it sits now at around $2-$3. I think that's probably safe to say that's one of the $5 reserve list cards, or maybe even around $6 to $7. So yeah, Well of Knowledge, Aura Thief, and Nikasar. Those are my picks this week.
Awesome. Yeah, that about wraps it up. We have time for maybe like one or two questions, but we're pretty much at that time. But we are going to push out more casts to make up for the time lost. So we're trying to give some extra time on this one. That's why we're running a little longer. So time for listener questions if you have them. We'll try to answer briefly. Give you a few seconds to type it out if you need it. But yeah, I mean, I think it was very good conversation that we had. I mean, if you just go back and look, I can't remember the exact dates of the last time all this hype happened, but I mean, just go back and listen to the podcast if you need to refresh, because, we get caught up in that kind of self-validation, look at me, beat the drum on these certain cards, and the selective memory is just funny. I mean, it's just like, some of the stuff we talk about like 6 months, almost a year ago, and it's like we're having the same conversations all over again. Not a question, but two things to keep in mind. Very few standard events coming up. Legacy as a format and a summer pro tour. No ban list Modern Open at SCG Con.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the no ban list thing, I've seen people talking about, oh, should I buy into no ban list? I don't think so. I mean, it's a one-off, and they're testing it to see how it goes. Could it become a regular thing? Maybe, but anything that's not backed by WotC, I'm always kind of wait and see about, I mean, yes, you could take the risk and buy into no ban list Modern and then it takes off and woo, you make a bunch of money, but I would rather make sure that it's not just gonna, because listen, no, they've never tried this before, okay? So they're gonna see how popular it is. It's gonna be popular, but is it gonna be popular enough to justify them doing it every open? I don't know, so we'll see. Legacy is a format in the summer pro tour. It's about anticipating demand for the event. Oh, sorry, you're saying buying into... I'm sorry, Poppy. You're saying buying into sell around that event. Yeah, that's an interesting idea. I actually haven't... I have to admit, I thought about that. Maybe that's something we can talk about that next time, Chaz?
Yeah, I think even have I have hypergenesis. I mean...
I think the coach, Stu, was saying that, like, he was saying that Hypergenesis was basically going to be the most busted thing ever in the form. It's going to come down to like two decks. I think it's like Affinity and Hypergenesis, yeah, or something like that.
Hypergenesis is busted. That's why it's banned. So,
yeah.
I mean,
in fact,
go ahead.
No. I was just going to say I need to think on that, because I have to be completely honest. I have paid zero attention to that format or buying around that format. So I need to do a little bit of research before I can speak on that, which I will do, and we can chat about next time. But I don't think that's a bad strategy, to be honest with you. I think buying some things for the, looking at Hypergenesis is a good one. I have to take a look at the ban list again to see, but not was it?
Yeah, Verscott's got your back. Blazing Shoal and Hypergenesis. Yeah, those are two very good ones. I agree.
Okay,
but yeah, I mean, I'm leaning on Tarx here. I mean, if this becomes more of a mainstay, or if this is, you know, constantly held on, you know, as side events, then we can kind of revisit this. But I mean, it has to be consistent, and I don't really want to
think
buy,
about it. So, you know, Papu, let's say,
you know, yeah, go ahead.
No, I've done Tremont.
Yeah, I don't want to go buy like 50 Hypergenesis just because of like one event. So, I mean, Frontier had side events. Like, we got burned to some degree on that because, you know, some of us were, you know, putting on the, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid and putting on the blinders, and some of us really weren't. But, you know, it's always, like you said, if it's not officially sponsored and it's not officially like WotC, you know, here we're doing this kind of thing, then you always kind of like just temper expectations.
Yeah, I mean, you're literally looking at like maybe a 72-hour turnover before nobody cares anymore. I mean, right. I think it was like the
Unglued and Unhinged stuff. I mean, some of that stuff spiked like crazy, and then like a month later, no one cared.
Yeah,
so I sold some stuff I never thought I would sell, but kind of surprising, some of it actually did sell, but I still have some of that stuff left over. But, you know, when I was paying, you know, nothing yet, but that was more of like a casual thing. I don't know if this is really going to spark like, oh, someone won like the one side event of No Banless Modern. Like, does everyone go buy Hypergenesis now? I don't know.
Yeah. Legacy as a format in the Pro Tour. Chaz, what do you think that there's some actionable for that? Is that
a
team? No. Yes.
Yeah. It's the team Pro Tour. So, I mean, at this point, I don't really know what more there is. I mean, that's going to increase because of this. I mean, across the board, maybe, but if there's something new, definitely. If there's something that we haven't seen before, that's probably the likeliest to increase. But if it's just like business as usual, I don't know if we're going to see a ton of increases on legacy stuff just because of the team Pro Tour.
Like, it's too hard. It's more difficult for people to run off and buy up spec targets or buy up things at the Pro Tour than it is in standard, right?
I mean, yeah, it's standard, like, oh, event,
you can go in and buy a dollar. You can buy a bunch of dollar cards, but it's not like you can go buy up a bunch of dual lands.
Yeah,
and
even before, but especially now, like, oh, like Elves did well. Oh, you know, each guy's cradle is $400. Like, what? Like, that's, you know, not the first place everybody runs out and goes to buy.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. All right, folks. Thank you for the questions. What did you have last kind of comment there?
No. Well, he had also mentioned very few standard events coming up. So, Papa, what was that? What were you speaking to on that, or what did you want to address?
I mean, the Pro Tour is like the team thing. So, and there's like, I mean, short of like Opens, there's not a lot of high premier stuff from now until like the core set.
No standard premier events to feature Dom.
Yes.
Yes, that's true. That's true. But I think Dom's going to do very well, and I think it would be amazing. But we might have EV that's pretty good for these boxes. I think for Dominaria.
This is probably. I mean, I'm going to make draw the parallel here of, you know, Dominaria kind of acting like Shadows over Innistrad block did, where it might take a little time for some of these to increase. But you know, every set that pretty much gets released after this now, I think people will be kind of revisiting Dominaria because it's just such a strong set. I do think a lot of the cards will decrease, so that'll be good. But some of the stuff, I mean, some of the cards are going to have to soak up the value. But we'll talk more in a couple days because Dominaria is pre-releasing this weekend, gets released next week. So we still have some time to talk about it.
Yep.
All right, folks, that is going to do it for tonight. Thanks for tuning in. I know it was late for some of us, but we will see you again soon. Tark, where can they find you on the internet?
I'm at @the_Tark, T-A-R-K on Twitter. I also work with the guys over the MTG Finance Central Facebook page. You can chat with me there. And as always, I'm with QS.
Oh, yeah. Very good point. Really quickly. Yeah, the boxes can be sold. The LGSs can sell them this weekend. Remember, they have that head start thing that they put out there. All right, yeah, so you can find me on the QS Insider Discord. You can find my work on Quiet Speculation. That is going to wrap it up for this episode of the QS Cast. Thanks, everyone, and good night. We'll see you next time.
See ya.